Sean Patrick Maloney, I want to talk to you about Russia. Into all of this comes Putin now saying the United States has no business doing sanctions because it won't work. This is the same Putin who is being investigated by the special counsel, along with certain Americans who are dealing with, like the president, who had been dealing with the Russians. Is that of interest to you?
Well, you know, I don't look to Vladimir Putin to give me advice on U.S. national security policy, but he may have a point about sanctions being too little too late on North Korea. I mean, we have done a lot of sanctions. What they're talking about now are what are often called secondary sanctions, where you would essentially sanction any nation that does anything with North Korea, which would theoretically be very effective. But, of course, it triggers enormous consequences if you were to, say, shut down the trading relationship with China. Because you were unsat, so it gets complicated quick, but the bigger point is, and it may be what Vladimir Putin was getting at, is that they are knocking on the door right now of an invincible intercontinental thermonuclear capability, and it's very unlikely that any kind of sanctions you're going to do over the next 12 months are going to stop that if they are determined to proceed with their program, because they're already there. The key components are the detonation of the thermonuclear device. They're there. The miniaturization of that device to fit it on top of an ICBM, they have done that. A reentry vehicle that can get through the atmosphere and target properly, we believe they're very close to having that capability. In other words, we are months, if not, you know, already at the point away from the North Koreans having a capability that is very dangerous. And I just don't believe at this stage, after 24 years of Democrat and Republican administrations attempting some strategy involving carrots and sticks and failing, that sanctions now are going to stop this program.
Okay, let's go to debt ceiling. I have so many things I got to talk to you about. We spent a lot of money, and now we got to raise the national debt so we can pay off what we spent, right? Is that what it's about?
Pretty much. I mean, and if we don't, we will default for the first time in our country's history on the full faith and credit of the United States and probably trigger an international economic panic and perhaps recession. And it would be a self-inflicted wound. So it'd be pretty dumb to do it. And I say that as somebody who's dead serious about working across the aisle on a real balanced budget plan, on growing down our debt just the way we did in the 90s. And if you're serious about that, count me in. But it makes no sense to default on bills we've already incurred, money we've already paid, and it's completely unnecessary.
And
so
we need to
act responsibly on it.
And it should it be tied, as some people think the president's going to do, to the building of his wall?
Well, here's what's frustrating, right, is that the president doesn't have the votes to do the right thing within his own party. So right now, this morning, the Republican leadership and the White House are looking to Democrats to provide those votes. And that's fine. We're willing to be responsible and do it. But if they start adding in other things, like wasting $25 billion on a wall we don't need that the Mexicans, remember, were supposed to pay for and all that other nonsense, then they're going to stir this thing up pretty quick into a political storm. And they're going to slap the hand that Democrats are extending to them to say, don't mess around with our economy. Whatever else you guys are doing, you can't afford to be incompetent on the debt ceiling. So pass a clean debt ceiling increase. Now, we don't think they ought to get a blank check on anything, but we are willing to work in a responsible way to preserve the full faith and credit of the United States. So they just need to stand up to their own members of their conservative wing and do the right thing.
Let's talk a little bit about hurricanes. You know, we had a terrible hurricane in Harvey. Now we have Irma coming at us as we speak today, coming full bore. There are those who say, yeah, this is climate change, and this is what we're getting as the seas warm up. Yes or no?
Well, I'd leave it to the scientists to tell us, but I think most of them would say that it is not surprising that we're seeing, you know, increased intense storms. That's part of every climate change projection, that you're going to have an increase in the number and intensity of these types of storms. And look, we know that there are sensible things we can do. We've done some of those in the Northeast after Sandy. It may be that after this event, more members of the Texas delegation are interested in this. You know, as a New Yorker, I have to point out that it bothers me to listen to Ted Cruz talk about you know, how important it is to help, you know, superstorm victims when he voted against Sandy relief, when he held it up and played politics with it. You know, Pete King, the Republican from Long Island, is still mad about that, and he's right to be mad about that. We're going to do the right thing, by the way. We're going to help the Harvey victims, and we're not going to play games with it. But it would be nice if these guys who voted against Sandy relief and all of the sensible, you know, storm prevention measures and proactive things we should be doing in an era of increased storm activity, it'd be nice if they started to join with us to do the right thing in time to do us some good.
Well, that's the national level. Let me go to one that is a very important to the people in your district, including in Newburgh, which is the PFOS contamination. We're seeing more and more of that around the states, around New York. What's the takeaway on this?
Right. So for people who don't know what we're talking about, at certain facilities like the Air National Guard Base in Newburgh, New York, you had the use of certain flame retardant materials that created a contamination of local water supplies. We've seen this problem around the country. We don't know how serious it is, but it's serious enough. In Newburgh, people should know the water is clean and safe to drink. We use the New York City Aqueduct now, and I want to thank the governor for making sure that taxpayers in Newburgh didn't have to pay anything. So that's good. We're getting blood testing for everybody. We don't think there's any long-term health problems, but we're not going to happy talk it. I had my blood tested, by the way. My office is in Newburgh. I'm not just talking about this. We drink the water there, too. But it's clean and it's safe now. But I've written two pieces of legislation to get at this. One would require the EPA to test all municipal water supplies, even communities under 10,000, for PFOAs and PFOS contamination. That's number one. And number two is we need to have some federal research to tell us what the safe level of this stuff is in human blood, because we do not know. We know it's lower in most people than it was 25 years ago when this stuff was in a lot of consumer products, and that's good. But we don't really know in a municipal water supply, you know, what parts per billion we can, with confidence, say is not a problem. We need to do that research. It's one of the reasons why we shouldn't be cutting basic federal research and trying to nickel and dime important efforts like this. So that's what I'm doing about it. And it's not just in Newburgh. It's a lot of sites around the country. In Newburgh, by the way, it's very important that the Defense Department get off its butt and do the right thing. I made sure there's language in the appropriations bill to allow the Air Force the money it needs to do immediate and additional remediation there. They should be filtering it at the source of the base. We've done a lot of other prevention remediation there, and it's good. But the Defense Department still has some work to do on this, and they need to be accountable for the ultimate cleanup, as I believe they will be under the Superfund law.
I got a minute, and I want to ask you this. A lot of people in your district voted for President Trump. So is there voter remorse?
I don't know the answer to that question. My district voted for President Trump. I'm one of only 12 Democrats in the House who represents that kind of district that voted for Trump and a Democrat. There's only 12 of us out of 196 Democrats. I don't know that they would vote against the president today if the choice were still between the president and Hillary Clinton. I don't think the American people are moving at the speed of MSNBC. You know what I mean? I don't think they're so convinced. I think they think he just got there. We ought to give him a chance. Now, a lot of us have been watching this more closely and think that he's made a mess of his first 10 months in office, and he's done a lot of unnecessary and divisive things, and he's gotten almost nothing done and is squandering the opportunity to reach across the aisle and get real bills passed. And we're hopeful that on immigration or on infrastructure or on tax reform, if we can get to work on fixing our healthcare system the way it ought to be fixed, you know, he can still do that. And I think most of my constituents hope that he will. Because, look, they don't want the president to fail, and none of us should. We do not have a presidency to waste in this country. We have real work to do. And so they're not playing some political game, and neither should we. We should all hope the president settles down and works across the aisle and gets some good things done. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of evidence of that, and it may be starting to sink in, if nothing else, that the guy's not very competent, that they don't seem to be very good at this. They can't get anything done. He's making a mess of everything. He should put down the Twitter account and start doing the job.
Always great to talk to Sean Patrick Maloney, the congressman from New York's 18th district. Sean, I want to thank you on behalf of all of us for coming on regularly and talking to us. It's very, very
It's always a pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you very much.